The White House Report.
I am sitting with Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon, the former advisor to President Trump. Some may have called him the de facto president. Steve, well, I mean,
God, you're going to light me up right away.
No, I'm not going to light you up.
I mean, if you were going to blow up,
no, it's not. Well,
you're in trouble right away.
Well, let me ask you
and
about
you're here at the Breitbart Embassy.
Oh, this is the Breitbart.
We call the House of Pain.
The House of Pain. I haven't felt any pain. I did drink your water, though. I'm just wanting to make sure that you didn't put anything in the water, but it's all good. Thank you, though.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
We met backstage at the Bill Marshall.
And I was surprised that you wanted to meet me, and you said you liked me. I couldn't believe it.
I'm a fighter. I love fighters.
Well, I do my job, and I've been doing it for 21 years, and I pray I do it for 21 more. So, Steve Bannon, there's a lot in the news right now. And I just want to go to the pain and the division in this country right now over Brett Kavanaugh. What do you think is going to happen?
I think the FBI looks like they're doing their investigation. I think I'm seeing this from the outside, but I heard that they haven't interviewed Dr. Ford yet, mm-hmm. So I don't know what's going to happen on that. But my understanding is that they're going to wrap this up on, or you know, have this report or whatever done by tomorrow, and they're going to vote on Friday. And I think if the current indications, I think that it looks like that Judge Kavanaugh would probably be approved. I think with over 50 votes. I think with actually a couple of Democratic votes.
What does that do to this president, particularly in the midterms? I mean, because women are going to be very upset. He's losing support from women right now with this.
If Judge Kavanaugh is not approved, I believe that the Republicans will lose the Senate, and I think they'll lose the House. And I think it's almost impossible for them to lose the Senate now. But I tell you, if Kavanaugh does not go through, I think it's a major blow to the president's program, and I really think it demoralizes the president's base. I think right now Judge Kavanaugh, April, as you and I talked before, I think it's even beyond a Supreme Court nomination now. I think it actually is, this is a proxy fight on President Trump going forward. I have said from day one, I was on Hannity 6 weeks ago, that I thought he'd lose 35 to 40 seats then. I think we've tightened it up. But if the Republicans lose the majority in the House, there's no doubt in my mind that the president's going to be impeached by the House. They're going to start impeachment process with the president in January. He will not be removed from office because they'll hold the Senate, but it's going to be, you saw the hearings last week. Jerry Nadler was on TV, I think it was on Sunday, said there's 51 investigations that they tend to do. They reported the other day that his taxes are going back to some law of 1890 in taxes. The New York Times today had a 14,000 word story. It looked like the Pentagon Papers, the entire front page of the New York Times taken up about this situation with his taxes. I think the Democrats are going to come full bore and completely stop the Trump program in his stake. That's why I made this movie, Trump at War. That's why I'm out all the time trying to do rallies and trying to get people set up and trying to have more people watch the film online and doing more media like this. I think it's imperative that the president get very focused and hold the House of Representatives. And I got to tell you, right now it looks very grim.
Maryland Congressman Elijah Cummings says, if indeed Brett Kavanaugh is confirmed and he becomes the next U.S. Supreme Court justice, he says this president will basically control three branches of government. Checks and balances are totally gone.
It's called why we have elections. I mean, Hillary Clinton, let's go back in time. When I took the campaign over and came in as CEO with Kellyanne Conway's campaign manager, you were there, April. It was August 14th of 2016. She was up between 12 and 16 points. They had, McConnell had kept back 140 federal judges, so it was a whole possibility of changing the judiciary. Hillary Clinton has never had accountability or responsibility to one of the greatest losses in American political history and, quite frankly, turned over essentially both the executive branch, this incredible come from behind thing we did in the Senate to take the Senate over and add more seats in the House. And I think we actually lost a few seats, but to keep this big majority. And then McConnell had kept 140, he had blocked and blocked President Obama for many years and putting these judges in, and 140 federal judges. So it's, yes, it's, I think Elijah Cummings is right. I also think that if we lose the House of Representatives, Congressman Cummings will be the head of oversight, I think, right?
Yeah, and government reform.
And I say that's enough right there. I have a lot of respect for Congressman Cummings. And as the head of oversight, it's going to be a very tough day. So I'm telling people, hey, if you want to keep the Trump program going, you must win in these House districts, and there's 20 or 25, I think, that have to be focused on right now to hold the House. Like I said, it's going to be very tough. If Kavanaugh is not voted on and passed on Friday or Saturday, I believe that we lose not just the House. I actually think it puts the Senate in jeopardy, and I think it would be catastrophic.
Wow. Trade war. We got a trade war issue. NAFTA, you wanted to talk about NAFTA. And after NAFTA, I want to go back to something, your passion you were talking about. We were talking about urban areas, right? Believe it or not.
Right.
But let's talk about NAFTA. You want to talk about NAFTA. What's the bright spot in all of this to you?
Because we've been in economic war with China for 25 years. China's engaged in economic war. We've never responded. The whole NAFTA, the Japan, EU, all these trade deals, what you're seeing going on right now is really President Trump trying to reorient the world supply chain and bring high value-added manufacturing jobs back to the United States.
But we buy more than they buy of us, but we're trying to close that gap. But do you think this is going to exacerbate our complicated relationship with them?
100%. I think it has to be. I mean, they have taken, listen, there's no, we run under a radical idea. Free trade is a radical idea. It's a radical idea when your biggest trading partner is a totalitarian mercantilist, you know, society. They make no bones about the fact that they put hundreds of billions of dollars a year into state-owned industries that have essentially gutted our aluminum, our steel, many of our heavy industries in Western Europe and the United States. It's the reason Brexit in 2016 mm-hmm. are inextricably linked. China's been in economic war to deindustrialize the West and ship all those high-value-added manufacturing jobs from the Midwest to China and things like textiles in the South. That's why it's imperative. If we want to rebuild the economic vitality of this country, it has to come back through manufacturing jobs. And that is why you're going to see, I think, and that's why I've been a huge proponent when I was in the White House on the repatriation, that cash should come back. There should be different tax breaks for companies putting in buying capital equipment, because if that money just comes back, they're going to do stock repurchases and dividends where the CEO is going to make higher salaries and the shareholders will make more money. What we have to do is, I think we should have targeted some of that for capital equipment, and more importantly, targeted a different tax structure to put it into inner cities. There's no reason, with the money we spend in Afghanistan, the $60 billion, and the money that we've allowed to go offshore in these taxes, that you can't rejuvenate the inner cities of this country with the capital that we have. And I think once we start doing that, once we have African-American and Hispanic businessmen that have more access to capital, and once you start restricting the unfair competition that African-American and Hispanic working class people have, both through illegal alien labor and through legal alien labor. Because right now there's 3 million, I think, a year visas given for high value added jobs. To me, that's all got to stop until we get employment in high tech areas up in the African-American and Hispanic community.
I can go on because we talk so much about immigration and we differed, but we talked and it was a respectful conversation. I think we've had a respectful conversation. We agreed to disagree on some things and we talked. But I want you to talk about issues of urban America. And we talked about this, the perception of who you are. We talked about the HBCUs and how you, and they said that you said that you were supposed to get.
Huge supporter of those. So coming from Virginia, you have the great university. I think St. Paul's, you have Hampton Institute, Hampton University mm-hmm. now. I live in Richmond. I live in the North Side. I live about a quarter of a mile from Virginia Union. Mm-mm. So, in Virginia State, all these great schools there, that I'm a huge believer in that. And look, unfortunately, things didn't come together. I think that's got to be more fought for. I've said, and I work with black entrepreneurs all the time, more of the set-asides. I think there's so much that hasn't been done that can be done and has to be done. So I think, but look, you're in the first 2 years of administration. The one thing I can tell you is that his policies are working for African Americans. I said this, Martin Luther King was an economic nationalist, okay? He died out in Memphis with the garbage workers, remember,
yes,
at that strike. He was an economic nationalist. He would be, I think, proud of what Trump's done on the economic nationalism part, okay? I think he'd be very proud of Donald Trump. That's why you have all-time low African-American employment.
We talked about that. It's dropping as you're not really doing anything to target it. And if you targeted the black unemployment rate, it would drop significantly much more than what it's doing now. as you just look at me.
Reasonable men can disagree. Reasonable men can disagree. So men and women.
Yes.
I think he's doing a great job in that. I do believe, and I said the focus of this, of my effort, I'm a populist and an economic nationalist. My focus in the Republican Party is to eventually have 25 to 30 to a third of African-American working class men and women and Hispanic working men and women and a part of the Bernie Sanders movement be part of this kind of workers' base in the Republican Party and to drive these policies forward. I'm not sitting here saying that every policy we have is a populist policy. It's just not. But it doesn't mean it can't be, and it doesn't mean it won't be if we get to work for it.
And my last question. You talk about there are a lot of missed opportunities in the black community that you want to see happen. And I've told you sometimes it's how you deliver matters. Do you think this president has gone too racial for people to really hear his message? Because people have said that he's a racist. They've even called you a racist. So what do you think needs to happen?
I think separate the signal from the noise. I think there's a lot of, around Trump, President Trump, there's always going to be a lot of noise, flashbang grenades, all that kind of stuff. I think look at the signal. Look at where the policies are putting people. Look at what the policies are doing about making people's lives better economically. And I think that, look, a lot of times I think things are misconstrued. I know this guy. I don't believe he's a racist. I said, I think some of the stuff is maybe some perceptions that, you know, a little more old school than other people. But
old school, like Archie Bunker, like you said. Yeah.
No. I think that if you look at where his heart is and where he's driving it, I don't think he's a racist. I think that Kanye West in that regard is a pretty good a bellwether for that. And I think if you look at these policies, you know, African Americans, and look, 1.6 million, I think the number is, African Americans that voted for President Obama did not vote for Hillary Clinton. Now, they were not prepared to vote for Donald Trump. And I think you're going to see this in this midterms. I don't think that you're going to see African American working class prepared to vote for Trump yet, because they're still saying, hey, maybe I haven't seen enough. But I think that they are tired of being, taken advantage of by Democratic politicians that, quite frankly, have just taken their vote for advantage. They have taken their vote for advantage, and they haven't. I don't think they've delivered for the African American community, and I think that Trump is starting to, and I think you're seeing the economic statistics.
And he's.
And there's a lot more to do.
And this president, right now in this moment, is also messed up with women, with the Christine Ford mocking. Do you think he's sexist, or do you think, you know, he's letting his emotions override? Do you think this president is letting his emotions override about all the allegations against him to just go after?
I definitely don't think he's sexist. I do think if you look at the onslaught every day, I mean, look at the New York Times today, 14,000 words on the taxes. I mean, it's just relentless given the pressure he's under. I think on this the thing with Judge Kavanaugh, I think what the president did was correct. He allowed another week for the FBI to further investigation, and then they're going to call a vote. So I think, to me, that's the signal. The rest of it's noise, and let's see what happens. I just want to reiterate, I believe if Kavanaugh is not voted in to the Supreme Court, it is catastrophic for the president's program. You know, Lindsey Graham said, oh, we just shouldn't call another vote, you know, in a couple weeks. It's not going to happen like that. I think that the president's base will be incredibly demoralized. The first time, as I've been arguing, the left is highly motivated, like the Tea Party in 2010. They've been doing the hard work that between the Time's Up movement, the resistance, and Tom Steyer's Next Generation, along with Netroots Nation. And you saw Netroots Nation shut down the superdelegates. I mean, they are taking more control of the Democratic Party. That kind of left grassroots are as on fire as the Tea Party was in 2010. Those people are delivering. And I've said from day one, the deplorables are kind of leaning on their shovels, right? They're not motivated. They're not. I think that changed last week with the Kavanaugh thing. The most important number I saw come out last week was Sean Hannity's number on Thursday night. 5.8 million people tuned into Hannity on Thursday night. That means that the deplorables, that Trump's base is now awakened to the fact that what the stakes are here.
No, they wanted to see what he had to say. That's all. I mean, don't you think that's some of it?
I do, but not at those levels. I mean, Sean Hannity does, 3.5 million a night? Mm-hmm. I mean, to 5.8 million to come in, I think people are saying, hey, there's something important going on here. That's why I think right now Kavanaugh is, to me, more symbolic than just a Supreme Court nomination. This is the Trump presidency that's on the line. And so that Friday vote, and I believe, as you and I talked earlier, I think you're going to get a couple of Democrats. I think if Joe Manchin wants to be the United States Senator in West Virginia, I think he's going to have to vote for Kavanaugh. And I think you're going to see a couple of other red state Democrats that are going to have the sweet hour of prayer, right? Because they're going to see that, you know, maybe North Dakota or some of these states, it's going to be very tough to vote against Kavanaugh and then finish up the last 4 weeks. But I would tell people, this is going to be, from Friday in, is going to be as intense as the closing 3 weeks of the 2016, because this is really President Trump's reelect. This is a referendum on Trump. This is his first reelect. If the Democrats take the House, they are going to shut down the Trump administration between investigations and between, I believe, beginning an impeachment process. So Maxine Waters, you know, what I do admire about Maxine Waters is she doesn't hold back. She tells you exactly what it is. And she said from day one, it's impeach 45. That's what this is all about. And I think that's why this is an up or down vote. The first vote's on Friday with Kavanaugh. The second vote's on November 6th.
Steve Bannon, I thank you for inviting me into your embassy, your inner sanctum, and I've survived. I really appreciate this moment with you and the conversation.
Well, thanks. I want you to come back. I want to deal in this. I want to get into more detail later about our discussion on wages, labor, access to capital, et cetera. These are issues that are absolutely fundamental to how this country goes forward. And I think it's got to be, the more we talk about it, the more we debate it, it's better.
I'm April Ryan, AURN News.